Good morning. The summer of 2009 was a time in my Christian walk where I felt most spiritually stalled. I really felt like I had hit a wall in my relationship with God. Looking back on everything that was going on, none of it should shock me. There was these huge changes that had happened in our life, in my life, and all of that was directly related to my relationship with God. For example, my work situation had changed. You've probably heard me share this before, but the church that I was serving at, our founding lead pastor resigned with a moral failure. And so I was asked to be on a team of five guys who were helping to lead the church in our transition. So this meant preaching regularly on Sunday mornings while continuing to lead and grow our high school ministry and be our missions pastor. What do they say if you want something done? Give it to a busy person. Our family dynamic had changed. Our beautiful little Sophie Marie was 9 months old. And being a dad for me was like being hit in the face with selfishness. I was radically confronted with my selfishness, and it was hard for me to bear. We also found out that summer that my wife was pregnant with our second child. Craziness in the Benson home. In addition to my work and family changing, I was also attending seminary. I was at this place in my graduate work where I was too far in to quit, but the light at the end of the tunnel seemed so very dim. I would sit at my table, my kitchen table at nights, just going, I want to quit. I can't handle this anymore. Really, to be completely honest, I thought of a plan where I would quit seminary, I would leave the ministry, I would take my family, and we would move to Hawaii. That would solve all my problems, right? I didn't know how to manage all of these new responsibilities in my life, and so I quickly shoved my relationship with God to the back burner, not knowing how to continue to grow spiritually. Have you ever felt how I felt that summer? Have you ever felt like all of the responsibilities in your life, you didn't know how to grow spiritually, so you just shove your relationship with God to the back burner? You just forget about God. Maybe this time you once had in the morning where you really connected with God, maybe it became stale. So you just gave up waking up in the morning. Maybe you tried one of those Bible reading programs where you start at the beginning of the year and you're gung-ho, but by the time you get to Leviticus, you are ready for the year to be over and you give up because you just can't handle it. You don't understand it. Maybe there was a time in your life where you once heard the sweet, still voice of your Savior, but it stopped. You got busy, and you didn't know how to maintain that relationship, and now you're struggling for clarity in life. We just finished a great year here at CPC. In the beginning of the year, we studied the first 12 books of the Gospel of John, and we looked at Jesus' life. And then during the summer, we took some time to study the Psalms. And then more recently, we just finished up the letters that John wrote to the early church. And to put a cherry on top of a great year, we just had Christmas. So all of us should totally be focused on Jesus right now. But before you take down Christmas, forget about Jesus, maybe you're going to go home and put him in a Tupperware box, take little baby Jesus out of the manger, put him in a Tupperware box, and throw him on the third shelf of your garage. Before that happens, let's talk about growing spiritually. How do we take everything that we've done this year and grow spiritually? I'm not asking you to make a New Year's commitment. I don't want to do that. Statistics say that 70% of those have failed. But what I do want to talk about is how do we grow spiritually? The first way that I think we can grow spiritually is by committing ourselves to a life of prayer. As I look back on that summer of 2009, one of the major things that had changed, that I shoved in my relationship with God to the back burner, was I just really quit regular times of prayer. During the summer, when we studied the Psalms, we looked at the fifth Psalm. And I love what David says in Psalm 5, verse 3. He says this. He says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." Wow. Some of you, you may totally relate to David right now. You love to wake up early. You have a regular time where you connect with God in the morning, and you feel like that. But for me, that summer, my prayer life was the complete opposite of what David wrote. In fact, it looked more like this from this video clip.
"I don't even know if you're there, God. I haven't really tried to ring you up ever since I asked for those parlays when things were tough. And I know you didn't help me with those for my own good because I had stuff I had to learn, but I don't want to learn any lessons on this one. I really don't want to lose my best friend. I know I'm supposed to give you things, but I'm scared to give you this. And if you are listening and you want to help us with the whole Chrysler thing, that would be really great too. You know, if that could go our way, that would be really great. If you're listening, that's it."
This is a great example of what happens to our prayer life when we become busy. We get overwhelmed. We neglect our time with God. Our prayer life becomes scattered. And I understand that every single one of us here this morning, we're at a different place spiritually. But what I want to try to do is I want to try to address some of those different spiritual walks here so that we can all grow spiritually. Some of you, you can totally relate to Vince Vaughn right now in that movie, The Dilemma. Your prayer life is scattered. It starts out, "God, I don't even know if you're real." And you know what? I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here trying to figure out this Jesus thing. Next, I think there are those of you who you've recently given your life to Christ. You gave your life to Christ at some point, but you didn't really figure out this prayer thing yet. You're not exactly sure what it looks like. Maybe you can think back to your childhood or your teenage years, and someone taught you how to pray at one point. Maybe you've memorized the Lord's Prayer. And so your prayer life, you just refer back to that. I hope this morning we can give you some tools that will help you grow spiritually. I think the last group of people represented here this morning are those of you who've been following Christ for a long time. You've gone through times in your life where you experienced the summer of 2009 that I had. You've had dry seasons with God, and you've had amazing seasons. Maybe right now you're in a good one. Maybe you're in a rough one. And I hope what I share this morning encourages every single one of us to grow spiritually. The reality is it's easy for us to talk about growing spiritually sitting in church. We can talk about regular times of prayer. The tough thing is, how do we implement this when we get back to our normal life? While I was reading Psalm 3, you probably got hung up on the third word, "in the morning." And you took your bulletin and you wrote a list, and you have 27 bullet points of why you cannot wake up early to connect with God. You're like, it's just never going to work, Neil. Here's the list. I got it. And you know what? Before you tune me out, listen to this. Because you don't only have to wake up in the morning to connect with God. I understand that we kind of have two different people. We have people that are morning people, and then we have people that are night people. And the people that are morning people, you love to wake up early and make coffee, and you're smiling, and you're all happy. And most of them were at our 8 a.m. service. And then we have night people, and some of you stayed up late, and you know the kids in here, they're on break, and they're begging mom and dad to play more video games, and dad wants to watch Sports Center, and you know the list goes on and on and on. But you don't only have to wake up in the morning to pray with God, to pray. The best thing that I love about this verse, listen to this. He says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." If you look at the flow of that scripture verse, you'll actually see that God hears David's voice even before David has opened his mouth. God hears our voice. And if you're a night person, just go back to Psalm 4, verse 8, and David talks about nighttime. So connect with God in the night. Figure out a time that works for you to have regular times of prayer. I like to think about prayer as spiritual food. Is there anyone else in here that likes to eat three meals a day like me? A couple of us, the rest of us, you are very holy and you're fasting right now, and I understand that. So please continue that. But we like to keep our body physically sustained. How do we keep our soul spiritually sustained? What would it look like to have regular times of prayer throughout the day? What if you started thinking about your relationship with God like text messaging? Where you just had some text message conversations with God throughout the day. Where you were like, "Hey God, what about this?" And then you just kind of wait for a response. "Hey God, I was thinking about this. God, I'm struggling with that." Maybe it's something where you don't have this 2-hour time chunk in the morning that you can connect with God, but maybe you got 15 or 20 minutes. And then maybe after your lunch, you can sneak away for 5 minutes. And then maybe on the drive home, you could get a couple more minutes. But how do you think about this kind of regularly sustaining your prayer life? And I want to make sure that as I'm saying this, my hope is that this refreshes your soul. My hope this morning is that none of this is guilt-driven. Please do not let regular times of prayer turn into Christian legalism, where you feel like you have this, I like to call it checklist Christianity. Oh, I prayed today. I'm on God's good list, you know? It's not the naughty or nice list. It's the connecting with God. It's falling more in love with your Maker. You could probably think about more than enough in your life to pray about. But just in case you're struggling with it, why don't you just start praying about those things you're worrying about? So instead of just thinking in your mind like, "Oh, I got to do this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about this." Look what Paul says to the church at Philippi. Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So those things that you're worried about, just turn those into prayer requests. Maybe it's something like this. You know, "God, I don't know how I'm going to send my kids to college." Well, instead of worrying about it, just go, "Hey, God, you've always taken care of me. Can you take care of me again on this one? Can you show me what to do? Can you provide a way?" Maybe for the kids that are in with us this morning, our Element kids, where are you at? If you're in our elementary ministry or in elementary, where are you? Parents are helping you raise your hand. Maybe you're having trouble in school. Maybe there's a problem. And instead of worrying about it, just go, "Hey, God, I don't really know how to handle this. Can you help me out?" Maybe for the parents, kids, I'm going to talk to the parents real quick, okay? So tell mom and dad to listen up. Maybe for the parents in the room, you're having trouble with your marriage. And you just need to go, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to meet the needs of my spouse." Maybe you're in here and you want a spouse. And you're going like, God, do you want me to have a spouse? What does this look like in my life? Maybe you got a struggle with your boss and you dread going into work. It's friction. And you just start praying, God, I pray that you would change my boss's heart or give me a new job. I think both of those are satisfactory, so just want to let you know. If you feel like you don't have enough with those examples, start praying for CPC. Start praying for what God is doing here at our Foster City campus. Can I invite you to continue to pray for our high school pastor search? We've been looking for a high school pastor for like 8 months. It is very important in my mind that we find a high school pastor who's going to help us reach the peninsula. Will you pray with us on that? That God will answer that request for us? Pray for our staff. Pray for what God is doing in their lives. Pray for how God is going to use them. Pray for the Gandhi family. They're going to India. Did you hear that? That is like good reason to pray for them, to go stop by and hang out with them at the Connection Center, get their picture on your fridge, and every time you go eat, I know not all of you eat three meals a day, but for those of you who do, open that door and pray for them and pray for what God is doing. And I think the best thing about these regular times of prayer is God wants to spend them with you. It's a relationship. There's such a huge value in that. There's also a value in reading scripture on a daily basis. I love what the psalmist writes in the 119th Psalm. In verse 11, he says this. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wow. What a great way to think about daily reading God's word. And then later in the psalm, in verse 105, he says this. He says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The only way that I think we can hide God's word in our heart is we have to know it. And how are you going to know God's word? Well, a great way to start knowing God's word is just reading it. It's just picking up this book and going like, I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to start memorizing it. And I'm going to start hiding God's word in my heart because I know that it's a safeguard for my life. And when I get tempted to sin, I'm just going to go back to God's word and go, what does God say about that? Is that something that's going to help me grow in my relationship with God? Or is that something that's going to actually hinder me? And then once you have that hidden in your heart, God's word will light your path. So kids, all my kids in here again, I want to talk to you again. Your parents can listen if they want, but this is for you. I want you to imagine that you're camping and it's really, really dark. But for some reason, you have to get up in the night and you have to go outside. And if you don't have a flashlight, you could like trip on a rock, you could hit a tree, you could fall in a waterfall, you could get eaten by a bear. I get to make up the silly scenarios on that. But if you had a flashlight, it's not going to light the entire night sky, but that flashlight will help you get to where you want to go. It will light your path. Kids, that's what God's word is. God's word lights our path and it helps us find our way in life. I love here at CPC that our students and children's ministries are teaching our kids about reading God's word, that they open God's word with them. It just makes me so happy. Maybe when I mentioned daily scripture reading, you remembered a time in your life where you tried to read the Bible and how ashamed you felt. And that's not my hope. Statistics actually tell us that 90% of households in America own a Bible. But they also tell us that only about 20% of Americans have ever read their Bible from cover to cover. I mean, that's a pretty big gap right there. And I don't want you to feel bad if you haven't, if you're, you know, one of the 80% that haven't read the Bible from cover to cover. This morning's not about feeling bad. Spiritual growth should never be motivated by guilt. But Does Scripture become a priority in your life? Is the question I have for you. Is God's Word a priority for you? Starting on January 13th, we're starting a church-wide Bible reading initiative. People at all three of our campuses. And we think that this Bible reading program is actually going to impact those of you who are here that are just trying to figure this God thing out, all the way to those of you who have been Christians for decades. We think it's something that's going to be applicable for every single one of us. It's a Bible reading plan that doesn't have any dates attached. So you're not going to feel guilty when you realize that you're 15 days behind. It's not guilt motivated. That's not what it is. It's a Bible reading program that has 100 carefully selected Bible passages, 50 from our Old Testament and 50 from the New Testament. And what's really cool is it's going to help us get kind of this big picture of God's Word while we're creating a daily process of reading Scripture. The challenge is called the Essential 100, and for short, we're calling it E100. The E100 passages are usually only 1 to 2 chapters in length, and we think it's going to take less than 10 minutes a day to read them. The E1 Challenge is going to take us through all of these different types of Scripture. We're going to read historical literature. We're going to read prophetic literature. We're going to read poetry. We're going to read wisdom. We're going to read the Gospels. We're going to see the epistles. And we're going to end in Revelation. So you're going to get every type of literature that the Bible has to offer. My hope this morning is that I whet your appetite to jump into this challenge. I think this is going to be a great way for us to grow spiritually. You can read the E100 on your phone. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, the E100 is already in there as a reading program. If you like to read your Bible the old-fashioned way like I do, you can also read it in here. It's called the Bible. It's really good, really good book. You can read it on your tablet, or you can get it there. And we're also going to post it on our church website so you can get a link directly to the E100. We're also going to have resources out in our lobby next Sunday for you. I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine everyone from CPC at all three of our campuses reading the same thing in Scripture on a daily basis. Imagine what it would look like to bump into someone at our North Campus and just go, hey, what did you read in your Bible today? And them to go, oh, I read this. And you go, I read that too. What did you think about da, da, da? Or you run into someone from our South Campus. You go, hey, how's it going? What are you reading in your Bible? And we start challenging each other. We start encouraging each other. You come to your community group and you go, hey, guys, what did you think about Wednesday's reading? I didn't really understand it. Or you come to your men's fraternity table and you go, hey, what did you read last night? Or you go to your women's Bible study table and you go, hey, what do you think about this? One of the things I was thinking that'd be so cool is for a parent to sit down with their kid over dinner and go, hey, I read this. What did you read? And we have students talking with their parents about reading Scripture, about spiritual things. What a great way to encourage all of us to read God's Word. We're going to start on January 13th. Next Sunday, January 5th, we're going to have resources here in our lobby at our Connection Center. We're going to have a little card that I just want to invite every single one of you to grab. It's a free card. It's going to have the whole plan. Go to the Connection Center, grab it. I also want to invite you, we're going to have books available. Bring $5. If you want to grab the book, it's going to have some more time that you can kind of jot your thoughts and questions. It's more like an interactive devotional incorporated with the readings. What a great way for us to grow spiritually. Now, before you convince yourself that there's no way you could ever do this, I think that all of us could take 100 days to focus on daily reading God's Word. Let me tell you about this. Our campus pastors and elders, we just finished reading a book titled Move. It's from the Willow Creek Church out in the suburbs of Chicago. And they put together this study where they combined all of this data that they got. They actually did this study over a six-year time period, and the data was collected from 250,000 people in 1,000 churches across the U.S., different sizes, different denominations, different geographic locations. And of all the data that presented in this survey, the one thing that stuck out to me the most was scripture reading was a major catalyst for spiritual growth. To say it differently, if you're going to grow spiritually, it has to involve daily scripture reading. So far this morning, I've talked about regular time of prayer, and we've talked about daily scripture reading. Another way that we can grow spiritually this year is through intentionally listening to the voice of God. This honestly may be the most difficult spiritual practice I've ever taken on, but it's also one of the most refreshing. In the 46th Psalm, I love what the psalmist writes. He says this. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." It's actually a very interesting verse here in the 46th Psalm. How the psalmist talks about listening to the voice of God and how that actually changes us here. Most scholars think that the 46th Psalm is actually a reference to Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. We see no mention of a time period, and the psalm isn't addressed to any people group. The interesting thing, too, is it doesn't follow the typical structure of a psalm, some of that stuff that we had studied over the summer. The focus of the 46th Psalm is trusting in God. The psalmist explains how God is a refuge for us. We can run to Him in times of trouble. He makes mention of the sea raging and the waters foaming. Do you ever feel like that's your life? The sea is raging around you and the waters are foaming. And what we try to do is we try to fight to figure it out. But the psalm actually tells us to do the opposite. It says to be still and know that He is God. The only way to do that is to slow down, to be intentional, and to listen to God. There's something special that happens when we stop doing and we start taking the time to be with God. Now, I want to be very clear in what I said there, because I said taking the time. I didn't say making the time. None of us can make time. God has already done that. We are all given the same amount of time. So don't think you're going to make any time for anything. But what you can do is you can take the time out of your day to grow spiritually, to take the time that you have been given. One morning of seminary, if I can go back to that story of 2009, that summer, one of my professors took us to the church that he led, and we talked through some spiritual growth strategies. Our entire class, and they had a prayer garden behind their church, and we went and we did this prayer trail, and then we cut off the trail, and he took us out into the forest to a stream. And what he did is he had us space ourselves out along that stream, and he left us there for 2 hours. And he said, "Just be still. Be with God." When I have times like that with God where I can intentionally listen to Him, those are some of the most refreshing times for me where I grow spiritually. Now, I understand most of you aren't enrolled in seminary right now, but something like that probably stirs your soul. You wonder, how could you get something like that? Here's some ways that I think we can be intentional with listening to God in our context. First thing you may want to do is, if you have a long commute, I just want to invite you to shut off the radio. I know this may sound crazy, but just turn off KNBR and focus on God. Just take that commute time and go, "God, here I am. I want to listen." Now, maybe you don't have a long commute. Maybe you have a shorter commute, and so you're going to have to be a little more creative. Maybe you're a night person, so at night, I want to invite you to turn off the TV and just go, God, I want to get away. I'm going to go to my living room. I'm going to go to my bedroom, whatever your housing situation looks like, and go, God, I just want to spend some time with you, and I'm here, and I'm going to listen. Maybe you need a little more. Maybe you want to be outdoors. Go over and take a walk on the Bay Trail. Sit on one of those benches and go, God, I'm just here. I'm going to listen. Drive over to the coast and go sit on the beach. And just take some time to listen to God, to be still. Maybe some of those options that I share don't stimulate you. Be creative. Find something that's going to work for your life and for how God has wired you, and use that to grow spiritually. Earlier in my message, I talked about all the different places that we're at in life. And understanding that we're at different places, I want to share a practice of prayer that I learned that summer of 2009. It's actually a monastic practice that Christians have been using for hundreds of years. It's called Lectio Divina. And the art of Lectio Divina is broken down into four sections that help us grow spiritually. And really what it is it's a combination of everything I've talked about this morning. The first section of Lectio Divina is Lectio. And when we translate it from the Latin to the English, all it means is to read. That's what it means. And so you start out Lectio Divina reading your Bible. And you could choose all places of Scripture. You can use the E100 plan. Wherever you're reading that morning, that's where you start out. And while you're reading God's Word, you just anticipate that God is going to show you a verse or a sentence or a word that's really going to stick out to what's going on in your life. Now, once you've read and you have that word, and you take that word and you're just going to sit and you're going to go into meditatio. And another way to say that is to meditate. And you see that in Psalm 1, but if you don't like the word meditate, just think focus. You're going to focus on God's word. You're going to focus on this particular scripture. And I understand when you first start this spiritual practice, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough because you're going to have all these things flowing through your head, but you just go, God, I'm here. Help me to focus on your word. Help me to focus on you, to think about you. And once you've kind of slowed down and you've meditated on God's word, you're going to go into the third part of Lectio Divina, which is Oratio. And Oratio, this is when you've prepared yourself and now it's time to pray. You pray through the scripture that you were reading. You trust that whatever God illuminated to you is applicable to your life, and it will be. And you start reading through, you start praying through that. Maybe you pray for what's going on in your life or what's going on in your family or a friend's life. Something that God is speaking to your soul. And the great thing is you can keep this word and you can pray with it throughout the day. You can keep that scripture as you hide it in your heart. You keep that. And once you've finished praying, you come to the last part, which is contemplatio. And it just means to contemplate. You're going to conclude the time contemplating on scripture. Another way to say this is just to abide with God. You're just going to take some time to be a normal human being. To spend time with God, to abide in Him, to abide in His truth, to abide in His promises, to trust Him and the plans that He has for your life. This is where you can really be intentional and let God speak to you. The great part about Lectio Divina is every single one of us can use it. It's not for spiritual giants only or for baby Christians only. You may go, well, Neil, I don't have that much time. That's great. Take 5 minutes and use a minute and 15 seconds for each section. Maybe you have a little more time and you want to take 5 minutes for each section. Kind of take 20 minutes to spend with God if you look at it that way. It's a practice that all of us can use. It might become a staple of prayer in your life, or maybe it's something that helps you get out of that spiritual rut that you feel like you're stuck in right now. Lectio Divina is not the only way to grow spiritually, but my hope is that this is a way where you can draw close to God without feeling guilty about how much time you have available. I started my message out this morning sharing about that spiritual brokenness that I experienced 4 years ago. I stayed in full-time ministry. We have another kid. She's awesome. Both my kids are awesome. We stayed in ministry. We've seen a lot of lives changed. As much as I wanted to quit seminary, I didn't. And I'm thankful to say that last summer, I graduated with my Master's of Divinity. It was a big day. Thanks. What I want to remind you, though, this morning is what I've shared is not an all-inclusive list for spiritual growth. What I've shared isn't a manual. It's not step one, two, and three. But my hope is that what I've shared spurs you on. What I've shared this morning are life-tested spiritual practices that all of us can use as we're growing spiritually. These practices have been passed down from other Christians generations ahead of us who've experienced some of the same difficulties that we have. I invite you this morning to take some or all of the lessons and implement them into your life, that God would use these to help you grow spiritually. The worst thing for me this morning would be for you to leave here the same. If you leave here unchanged, I feel like I've failed. My hope is that you have such a desire to grow spiritually, and that that spiritual desire is motivated by a love for God, not a guilt of checklist Christianity. The words of Peter Scazzaro in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spiritually, have always stuck out to me on the topic of spiritual growth. He says this. He says, Jay, one of our church members, recently shared with me, I was a Christian for 22 years, but instead of being a 22-year-old Christian, I was a 1-year-old Christian 22 times. I just kept doing the same things over and over again. Let's be Christians who are growing spiritually. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for what you're doing here at our Foster City campus. I thank you that we can talk about spiritual growth and how you work in our lives. God, I pray that what I shared this morning would motivate all of us to know you more, to be in that relationship, to cultivate relationship. God, I believe with all my heart, you're just waiting for us to draw closer to you. You want us to know you more. You have not hidden yourselves from us. God, I pray that growing spiritually would never be motivated by guilt. But Lord, you would help this to be motivated by a love for you, that we would know you more as we draw closer to you. So Father, I pray that these words would be an encouragement to everyone here this morning, and that we would grow spiritually together as we seek to know you more. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.